interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National guard.
Secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird. But the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Where are we going to start tonight?
Oh, I know. How about the UK? This is something I think everybody on the planet will find interesting. Imagine this. A 29-year-old man in the UK checked into a guest house for 3 nights. Now, this guest house cost about £32 a night. That's about $51 here in the U.S. Apparently, he checked in under a false name and address. Even though he said he would be staying for 3 nights, he left after 2 days without paying them. Well, the hotel called the cops. Officers came there to investigate. You can imagine how high this must have been on their list of priorities. But let me just tell you the world we're living in. The officers there realized the guy had left his toothbrush behind. And so they took the toothbrush, had it forensically tested. They got his DNA from the toothbrush and found that it matched DNA in the police database and that this guy was already wanted on some other charges. And so they quickly were able to find him and arrest him just because he left his toothbrush behind at a hotel where he had not paid his full bill. It's getting harder and harder to commit crimes. No wonder the mafia is not as prevalent they used to be. Now think about that in terms of every little trace that you leave behind. Hey, thanks for joining us. What a show we have for you tonight. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight, Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. I'm glad I didn't leave my toothbrush here last time I was here, because I would have been without a toothbrush for about 2 weeks.
Okay, why is that?
Because we've not had a show here in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We have had ball games preempting our program, and I know that fans of this show, they get very aggravated about that, but I remember even hearing Art Bell one time say,
My show gets preempted for ball games as well because, hey, if you're going to have a ball game, people want to hear the whole thing. If you stop in the middle of the ball game, people are just going to get more angry. It's just a part of modern-day broadcasting.
Well, it's about money, too. It's like, you know, the station's getting good money to run these
ball
games of teams that don't win, but, you know.
that's even more accurate. So it does suck that we do get preempted from time to time, but I must also confess it's a nice break because one thing we've discussed on the radio is I think the reason people like this show is because we are not just broadcasters. We're out there living a real life. We're dealing with the same scenarios that everybody else is to a certain extent. And so when we come back into the studio, we're able to bring, you know, that experience.
Fresh new ideas.
Absolutely. We also have in the studio a woman who may fit very well into one of the big topics of the evening, serial killers and mass murderers. Her name is Investigator Shelley Wright. How are you doing this evening, Shelley Wright, from Wright's Coin Shop?
Doing great. How about you?
Well, I found out some news recently about serial killers that I'm going to share later. It has to do with me.
What?
Yeah. Me.
You?
Me and serial killers.
No.
Yeah. So maybe tonight is the night I should just confess. I don't know. No, we'll get to that. We'll get to that later.
You stole the Lindbergh baby.
I did it. I am Joseph Mengele. I stole the Lindbergh baby. Anybody who emails us and knows that reference, I have to send something to. Okay.
Shelley, do you know?
No.
Okay.
I did it. I stole the Lindbergh baby. I am Joseph Mengele. Ah! Okay. Tonight is October 13th of 2012, so obviously that means, you know, we've got the October thing going, we've got the number 13, and of course, every year, the October shows are the really rich Halloween-y shows. So like all the bumper you're going to hear is special, spooky Halloween season bumper. And we're going to dig into topics that are Halloween-y. I've got poems and stories and all that kind of business. And I'm pretty sure that this is what maybe year two for Kelly Griffin to appreciate what we do here at Halloween time. She's in the studio tonight. Isn't that right, Kelly? You remember last Halloween on this show, right?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
You know, that was supposedly our last show, wasn't it?
It was.
Until we got syndicated. We didn't know what was going to happen. I think we talked to Rob from Holland about that. He was on that show. And what did we do last Halloween show? I don't even remember what we did. We always do special things.
We went out to the woods.
Is that what we did? Mm-hmm. That was last...
And we sent Rob in to investigate strange lights.
Exactly. Now I remember.
We had the campfire going, didn't we?
We did.
We did.
It was a perfect night. We're cracking some brewskis. We're warming ourselves by the fire. Spooky little noises are in the woods outside. Oh, goodness. But, yeah, okay, here it is already, almost midway through October. We're getting started late this year because of the ball game preemptions. And, frankly, I got to be honest with you. I don't know this ball game schedule. Maybe we won't even have another show this October. I don't know. I kind of find out every week what the ball game schedule is. And, you know, Forrest may have a little more of a heads up on that. But yeah, tonight we're going to talk about serial killers and mass murderers. And I have some interesting stuff to share with you guys. But first, before we dig into that, obviously, now we can talk a little bit about the fact that my new TV series on the Travel Channel has been on for a few weeks, Paranormal Paparazzi, airing Friday nights, 7 p.m., 6 Central. And I would just tell you right off the bat, personally, I love the show. I think it's very entertaining, it's fast-paced, it's light. And I've heard just nothing but good things. The ratings are high. Everything is going great with the show. But I do focus on that little segment of people who don't like it. And the little segment of people who don't like it have said, well, I thought this was going to be more serious. I thought that you were going to get more, you know, in depth. And there is a seriousness with which the topics are approached, but the show is called Paranormal Paparazzi. That's why we are 1 minute with the skunk ape, and the next minute we're with, you know, ambushing some celebrity for a ghost story, and the next minute we're at some horror convention talking to special effects people. So it is exactly what I expected it to be. And some people just thought it was going to be like another investigation show where we spend the whole time out there in the field just digging around. And it's a news tabloid. That's why it comes on at 7. So most people understand that and appreciate it. And the only negative feedback I've gotten is from people who don't realize that. So you're going to give us a little bit of a report later, Kelly Griffin, on Paranormal Media. What's your first impression of Paranormal Paparazzi? And don't let this be at all colored by the fact that I'm sitting across from you right now and eyeballing you very intensely.
I enjoyed the show. I mean,
good.
I really did. I mean, it's just a little bit, it's what I expected. I didn't think it was going to be a serious, you know, investigation. But you find out a lot over the course of the show.
Yeah.
And I just think you can't please everybody. I mean, so if the majority is pleased, then...
That's the way I feel about it. The vast majority is pleased. The ratings are good. So, you know, but some people didn't realize that it was going to be, you know, an entertainment show, even though we've said that a million times.
Right. Actually, after the segments that we saw or the shows that we saw, I looked at Kelly and said, you know, a lot of the stuff on Travel Channel, I don't like the way it's produced, but this is one of the better shows on the Travel Channel, better produced shows on the Travel Channel.
Right. Well, I couldn't agree more. What are your thoughts, Shelley, right?
I agree with all of you. I really had a great time. I went to the party.
It was packed out.
It was definitely packed out, and it was loud, and it was showing on every screen, and everybody had a fabulous time. We laughed. We cried. It was hysterical.
A little personal joke we have about Travel Channel is like, you know, every show on Travel Channel seems to have something about Las Vegas on it. It's like... I've jokingly called it the Las Vegas Channel at times, but I didn't see the Las Vegas reference in your show at all.
Well, Zach Bagans lives in Vegas.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There
you go. I didn't know that.
6 degrees of separation. And I'm trying to think, I don't know if we have an actual story from Vegas or not, but yep, Zach Bagans, co-creator, executive producer, yeah, he's a Vegas guy. So, my goodness, there is just so much stuff. It's one of those nights where it's going to be hard for me to figure out where to begin. I guess when we get back, we'll start, why not, with the story from Florida. Right? It's our first Halloween show. Let's just cut right to the chase. Let's get to what's happening in Florida. I've got two Florida stories here. And a lot of other spooky stuff that we're going to dig into. It is kind of a Halloween edition. It's that time of year. It's that season. So we're happy you're spending this evening with us because this is the show where the unusual becomes usual. We dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, yes, the downright weird. Keeping you company tonight, I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange.
Eyes glowing red.
I am the one hiding from those stairs. Fingers
fingers like snakes and spiders in my hair.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween. 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 Halloween.
In this town we call home, everyone hail to the pumpkin soul.
In this town, don't we love it now? Everybody's waiting for the next surprise.
Down that corner there, hiding in the trash can, something's waiting at the pumpkin. How are you
afraid? This is Halloween.
Red and black.
It's like a green.
Aren't you scared?
Well, that's just fine. Say it once, say it twice. Take a chance and roll the dice. Riding with the moon in the dead of night.
Everybody scream! Everybody scream!
Here's our devil, Halloween!
I'm the clown with the tearaway face!
Here in a flash of vomit and trace!
I am the who comes there!
I am the wind through your hair!
I am the shadow on the moon at night! Filling your dreams to the brim with fright!
This is Halloween! This is Halloween! 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 Halloween!
Halloween!
That's our job.
But we're not mean in our town of Halloween.
In this town,
don't we love it now? Everyone's waiting for the next surprise. Certain Jack might catch you in the back and
scream like a bat. You think you jump out of your skin?
This is Halloween. Everybody's scream.
Won't you please make way for a very special guy?
The Bomber Jack is king of the pumpkin patch. Everyone fails to the pumpkin king. Now this is Halloween.
Broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. It's a special October edition of Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Thanks for spending your evening with us. We're giving you the wildest and weirdest stuff happening around the world, and we're leading up to a discussion about serial killers and mass murderers in segment number two. You know, we recently debuted our Asheville Vampire and Occult Tour. It was packed out, a very animated crowd. Everybody loved it. You get to go around town with a knowledgeable guide who tells you things that go way beyond just a ghost story. And at the end of it, you get to go into the Mystery Museum and see some of the artifacts that I brought back from Transylvania in Romania. So if you're interested, go to hauntedasheville.com, hauntedasheville.com. By the way, this year I'm so busy, I'm going to lead one more tour. It's a Haunted Asheville pub crawl. It's going to be absolute chaos, I have no doubt. It will be on Saturday, October 27th, 9 p.m. So, you know, if you want to reserve your slot there, hauntedasheville.com. I mean, the last Saturday of the month, Forrest. Pub crawl. Everybody knows I can hold my liquor. It's going to be nuts.
And, of course, they've got to have a, what was it, a headless horseman, a flaming headless horseman?
We're going to do our best to make that happen. So, yes, this is Speaking of Strange. I mentioned the state of Florida, the weirdest state where the craziest stuff seems to be happening here in 2012. Let's just jump straight to St. Petersburg, Florida. That's our Florida bell. Help you keep track of how often Florida comes up in the news. Shelley Wright, I always think that it must be especially creepy for ladies like yourself, if you're alone and you're pulled over in a dark, secluded place, because yes. You're thinking, is this guy really a cop or not?
Yes.
Right, Kelly?
Yes.
You're wondering, like, is this one of the blue light bandits, or is this a real cop? Because if it is a criminal posing as a cop, well, then you might be murdered. If it's a real cop, you might go to jail. You know, even though he's using some poor judgment and pulling you over at that time, you still have to explain this to a judge. It could turn out badly either way. obviously one is worse than the other.
Right.
But it's not a good night.
No.
When you're by yourself and you're getting pulled over in a secluded area. You don't, you know, you go through the struggle. As a matter of fact, I produced a little low-budget movie years ago called The Devil of Blue Mountain. And it begins that way. It starts with some ladies being pulled over by a guy who's not really a cop. So you ask yourself, like, how far does this sort of thing go? Well, in St. Petersburg, Florida, apparently a man flashed a gun and a badge at the McDonald's drive-thru, demanding free food. He told employees there that he had just come from a sting, didn't have his wallet, and therefore he deserved free food from McDonald's. The workers there called the police.
Good for them.
And the cops came. They found this was a fake guy. He had two fake police badges and a real handgun in the center console of his car. 33 years old, charged with impersonating a police officer and improper exhibition of a firearm. So of all things you can do, of all the nefarious, evil, sinister, wicked stuff a guy impersonating an officer could do, he goes to McDonald's and says, "I want a Big Mac! I'm a man of the law." Is that even crazier? Probably on some level, yes.
If you have the money to go buy the gun and the badge, take it and buy you a Big Mac instead.
Buy the Big Mac. That's Hamburglar at his worst. And then here's another story from Daytona, Florida. Yeah, we are just kicking it right off with Florida tonight. If I'm reading this correctly, and I think I am, a guy goes into a gas station and he bought a lottery ticket of some kind, and it turns out this was a winner. Okay, he realized right then and there, I'm not sure they give the amount, but they say, you know, it wasn't a huge amount, but it was a decent payout. So it must have been like a scratch-off or something. They don't really specify. So the guy, he wins enough money that the clerk opens the cash register to take the winnings out. And at that point, the guy who won lurches forth and starts grabbing additional money out of the cash register.
Dude, you already won.
Yeah. And altogether grabbed no more than about $50 and ran out of the store. If they say it's a 40-year-old man or something like that, white guy in his 40s with reddish blonde hair, and they've got video of the dude. So, you know, they're saying as for the amount of money the man is said to have won in the original scratch-off, police have not confirmed that yet. But, yeah, the guy's getting free money. He's a winner. He should be happy. But he cannot prevent that thieving instinct to reach into the cash register and just jerk more money out of there. That kind of reminds me of what people say, like, kleptomania is. That people just can't help themselves. If there's, it could be some meaningless, valueless item sitting there, but they just have to take it.
Well, it's not the object. It's the high they get off of getting by with it.
Yeah, a little adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
From reaching in and pulling something out that doesn't belong to them. Here's a story that's a little bit spooky. I tell you, this reminds me of something, actually. Maybe it will remind you of that same thing. In Oregon, a 69-year-old farmer went out to feed his animals, and he never came back. And later, the family went out looking for him, and they found his dentures and pieces of his body at the hog enclosure. He had been eaten by the hogs, his own hogs. They say, we don't know what happened. Maybe he had a medical emergency. Maybe he had a heart attack. Maybe he was knocked over But as soon as he was vulnerable, these hogs, and mind you, some of the hogs weighed over 700 pounds. They came in and literally ate this farmer. They say that while pigs are more omnivorous than other farm animals, it's a very unlikely scenario. It reminds me, of course, of that scene from Hannibal, the sequel to Silence of the Lambs, that was actually shot. Yeah, it was actually shot right here in Asheville at the Biltmore Estate. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I have another really nasty story for you about food from Kentucky. And while we're talking about food, I might even plug a restaurant that I like. Why not? It's Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll be right back. Transform our minds closer to that veil that thins when Samhain kicks in. During that period of time when we are closer to the dead than they to us. And who knows how far it's going to go. It's 2012. Everything's changing this year. Everything's weird. Everything's up in the air. And soon enough, we're going to talk a little bit about some serial killers, mass murderers, whatnot. But before the break, I was talking about a man devoured by pigs, his own hogs. That'd be a heck of a way to die, wouldn't it? And it reminds me that even though this show is now syndicated, it can be heard from coast to coast and all over the world on the internet. Once in a while, I like to just, you know, plug a local business because I love chicken Philly sandwiches. And it's kind of hard to find a good chicken Philly around here. So, I'm not being paid to do this. Nobody knows I'm going to do this. But I'd hate to see a place that makes a good chicken Philly sandwich go out of business or something. And then I'll be like, man, I should have plugged them on my show. So, you know where my favorite chicken Philly sandwich comes from in the Asheville area?
Where is that?
It comes from Holland's Grill, 1078 Tunnel Road. You guys ever had their chicken Philly there?
No.
No.
Yeah, at Holland's Grill. It's up on a little hill. It used to be a video store in that area, like a Tonight's Feature or something like that, years and years and years ago. Holland's Grill, 1078 Tunnel Road, great prices. Their number is 828-298-8780. That's 828-298-8780. Just a good chicken Philly. Go there, support their chicken Philly sandwiches. Tell them Joshua P. Warren sent you. And who knows, maybe they'll do something special for you. I tell you something else. It's getting cold, and you know things are starting to break down now. I also want to plug, while I'm plugging local people, a handyman. A handyman. His name is Gib Gibson. He's a great guy.
Good old Gib.
He gives you, yeah, he gives you a good deal. All seasons heating and cooling. Doesn't matter what you have wrong with your house. Just call this dude up and ask him. Tell him you heard Joshua Warren talk about it. He'll just give you advice for free. Good man. Right now, people need a little hookup. You know, you need a little handout. And again, I'm not being paid. These are not advertisers. Gib Gibson is a handyman. If you're in the Asheville area, call him up. 828-651-9998. I needed some help. He helped me out. So here you go. Gib Gibson. 828-651-9998.
She might have to give him a holler. I'm having some issues with my heater right now.
Call the guy. If he can't help you, he'll give you a good, solid reference. My air conditioner went out in the hottest part of the summer.
Right.
I called him up. He gave me a reference, and these guys came out and gave me, like, the best deal you could imagine. So, I mean, that's why I'm just promoting these people for free, because it's a public service.
Exactly.
It's a good deal. Yeah. Call Gib Gibson. And how can you forget that name?
Good old Gib.
Good old Gib. Gib Gibby. The Gibber. One for the Gibber.
Let's get the show back on track.
Let's do that. Let's talk about what happened in Kentucky. Speaking of restaurants, you probably heard about this in the media somewhere already. Because, you know, again, we have been off the air for like 2 weeks because of ball games. But in Kentucky, of all places, a Chinese restaurant owner found a dead deer on the interstate. Do we know where this is going? Now, this is not some urban legend. This is a real news story. Found a dead deer on the interstate, pulled over on the side of the road, scooped it up, put it in the back of his car, took it to the restaurant and says, "We have special tonight." Actually, I don't know. I can't do my Chinese accent. I'm sorry. I'll sound too Italian, right? "We have a special tonight." So they prepared this roadkill deer and served it in the restaurant to patrons. And apparently one of the people who was eating it looked outside the back and saw part of the deer and started asking questions and talked to somebody else who was like, "Oh, yeah, you know, we found this today on the road. I saw him drag it in, blah, blah, blah." So, not surprisingly, you know, the health department was called, an inspector came in, and they pretty much admitted to it. We're like, "Yeah, there's something wrong with this." Yeah, it's a free dead animal, you know. He was going to go to waste. So the folks at the Chinese restaurant are saying that they didn't realize this was a problem. They didn't know they weren't allowed to do this. So now the inspector's saying that makes me even more concerned, because how often might this happen when people, you know, are. Now, maybe that was just an excuse, but nonetheless, how often are people finding things on the road and bringing them in? And frankly, if you fry a little piece of something, you're not going to know the difference anyway. I had fried brains a few days ago. I've never eaten brains before.
What did they taste like?
They tasted like everything else that's fried. They were good. I won't use any, you know, specific names, but I went to a big party. It was a nice affair. It was catered, and they had a list of things. And I think they call them sweet bread. That's the name they use, sweet bread.
I think so.
And I know I'd heard that before, but I would have never remembered. It was my wife, Lauren, who was like, "Oh, sweet bread. You know what that is, don't you?" And I was like, "Oh, those are brains." "Oh, okay. What kind of brains?" "These are calf brains." And these were presented as hors d'oeuvres. It was a little chunk of calf brain And I think it had like a cucumber on it or something.
That doesn't make it any better.
And yeah, if I didn't know the difference, I'd say, oh, this was probably chicken or something. But no, it was a brain. The one that grossed me out, though, and I didn't know I was going to some bizarre foods party, but the one that was a little bit like, I don't think I like this, was the chicken liver pate.
Really?
Yeah. They had taken a chicken liver and whipped it up into a nice moussey type form and, again, put like a cucumber or something on top of it. And it was better than I thought it was going to be, but it definitely still had that livery on the back of your tongue flavor.
I like liver.
You like liver? You don't like ketchup.
Right.
You don't like mustard, but you like liver.
I do.
I'm sending you immediately into psychotherapy, Forrest.
All right.
I want you to lay on the couch and have somebody say, tell me about your mother. What did your mother fix for you? Did your mother make liver for you? Yeah, I bet she did, didn't she?
She didn't.
Really?
No. Nah.
Hmm. Where does your taste in liver come from, then?
KFC.
And some fava beans. The nice Chianti.
Lois.
Ugh. I'm not a liver guy. Do you like liver, Shelley?
I don't know that I've ever had liver.
Really?
Actually, yeah.
Where I grew up, they had the, I guess in Shelby, I can say that, they had the Liver Mush Festival.
Oh, really?
And, like...
I've heard of that.
And, of course, it's a big festival. It's like a big street festival where this vendor has fried liver. This vendor has liver mush fried. This vendor has liver sandwiches. This vendor has pretty much anything you can imagine.
I'm a very open guy. I love different cultures and new experiences, but I would never go to the Liver Mush Festival. That's going too far for me. I've eaten a lot of nasty stuff now, man. I've had tripe. I've had blood sausage. I've had head cheese. I've had sweetbread, brains.
Bull's balls.
What?
Can I go with the bull's balls? You're talking about that
one. You didn't
one
have Rocky Mountain oysters or Appalachian mountain?
No, I didn't eat those.
Oh, I thought you had them.
No, no. You tried to dare some of us in here to eat them.
Yeah. I have never eaten testicles, no.
Sorry.
Let's get that straight for the record. But we can make that happen. At least there was an option. That's one thing that I have. Now, have you ever had such a thing?
No.
You've never eaten?
Never had a ball eating stuff like that.
I'm not adventurous with my eating, so.
Okay.
So I still, well, I'm not.
Shelly, you ever eaten?
No.
What was the gherkin fruit or whatever you brought in here?
Oh, yeah, that's bad stuff.
Oh.
Durian. Yeah, that's nasty.
But
the funny thing is, that's not nasty because of where it comes from. It's just nasty.
It's nasty.
So, hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, there's a new story out associated with NASA. And apparently an astronomer is saying, okay, it's time that we all come out and come clear here. We're seeing UFOs all the time. There's a big cover-up that's been going on, and it's time for people to get honest. I'll explain when we return. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. Sort of an October Halloween edition of the show. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Seen my daddy and daddy before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. You only come a town about.
minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. Most people wouldn't realize it, but this is the music from Young Frankenstein, the Mel Brooks comedy. Often we expect comedies to have, you know, crappy music, but...
Whimsical sounds like.
Whimsical. Not in this case. Yeah. Or we could do Putting on the Ritz. Yeah, in the final minutes of this hour, and next hour, we're going to talk about something a little more somber. Serial killers. Mass murderers. But, you know, I mentioned before the break here, NASA has, well, we'll say an associated astronomer. And he is claiming in the Huffington Post here that there needs to be a brand new study of UFO activity because he's claiming that there is a great deal of merit that astronomers are frequently seeing UFOs. And they are terrified to comment on what they're seeing because they're afraid that it will reduce, you know, their credibility in some way. It's similar to pilots, I guess. You know, pilots get trapped in this similar situation in which if a pilot says, well, you know, I'm seeing something I cannot explain, well, automatically you start to question that pilot's judgment. I can understand maybe with a pilot why that's more important because, you know, the guy has lives in his hands. But astronomers, yeah, astronomers are just geeks looking at the sky through a piece of glass. They have no real responsibility. And don't get me wrong, I like most astronomers, but they can be honest. They can tell us what they're seeing. Maybe they'll get a few more dates. And, you know, it's obvious that the whole point of astronomy, the reason we look at the sky, is because there is a huge vastness out there, an infinite blackness full of incomprehensible possibilities. Why shouldn't they embrace that and say, yes, I'm seeing something bizarre here. I'm seeing some weird stuff. Of course. You know, if we knew everything, science would come to an end. So, you know, I'm all for the concept of astronomers coming out, helping us push this forward. Help us make something truly innovative take place here in the scientific world. Here's a story from Deerfield Beach, Florida. I heard you mention this earlier, Shelley.
What was that?
Authorities there are saying a guy entered a roach-eating contest.
Yes, ew.
And he downed dozens of live roaches.
Yes.
And worms.
Yes.
And he died.
Yes. Now, why would he do a thing like that? You would think that there has to be, like, some vast sum of money. Oh, no.
They say the prize was a live python.
Yeah. Yeah.
What, are you going to eat the python? You know what? I had... Okay.
Mr. Brains Eating
Yeah, I've got
person.
A story. I have a story. Earlier this year, I was in Florida, of all places, and I went into this big, crazy restaurant. I think it was somewhere around Jacksonville. I mean, and this place was just jam-packed with taxidermy and animals. It was a very cool place. They had a live alligator there in a tank and everything. And I'm looking at the menu, and they had, like, our menu of exotic things. And one of the dishes was... python. And I detest the idea of eating snakes and spiders, but you put me in a situation where I have a limited opportunity to try something out, This is, you know, it's the Indiana Jones instinct, right, Forrest?
Exactly.
I'm like, hey, why not? You only live once. So I ordered the python. And, in fact, the other people at the table were like, I don't know. I said, look, I'll buy a python. I'm not going to eat the whole thing. Well, you know, there's plenty to share. You don't have to order your own dish. So we're all sitting there like getting all psyched, you know, all ready to order, to eat the python. And then the waiter came back like 10 minutes later. He goes, I'm so sorry. We just sold out of the python.
No.
Yeah. So I didn't eat python after all. But I was willing to do it. It's the thought that counts, right?
Have you ever eaten rattlesnake?
I've never eaten a snake, period.
There used to be a restaurant, Spirits on the River, here in Nashville.
Did you eat snakes there?
I did.
What did it taste like?
Chicken.
Oh, come on.
It did.
Really?
It was like sort of a greasy chicken.
I had some really nasty frog legs there once. Okay, break time. When we come back, serial killers, mass murderers. Happy Halloween. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Let it